Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. Kando Radio Show brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave, from L.A., coming to you live from Senior Region number 6. And today is November the 2nd, 2018. We have a live show for you today. Today is Financial Friday, but the Financial Friday part of it is going to be definitely changed because of today's show. It's probably going to be one of the most important shows that I've ever done. And I'll show and tell you why, because the significance of things is really, really making itself known. And I want to give you as much opportunity to prepare for what's really happening. I'm going to get right into this and give you an idea of what's really happening. You can make your own decisions from that, but your overall, you having the ability to know is critical. And I'll show you what we mean in today's show. And today's show is make no mistake. The diabolical stars are falling within a genocidal intent. There is a very diabolical plan that is at hand, and it has genocidal intentions. And want to show you that, and that's my opinion of it all. But once I show you some of the evidence of some things, I think you'll see. And we're going to take a look at this whole thing from a standpoint of because one thing is that in military movement, cloaking your military movement is very, very, very important, strategically important. And we're going to show some of those things, but it's really important that you prepare, because the adverse effects of this could definitely, and it will reach everyone here. So we're going to jump into that for today's show. I'm going to hurry up and get into it with some, because it's just too much information. Everyone, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. Go to the website for this network, www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Hit the donation prompt, give a financial donation so this network can stay on air. Also, go to www.btrcommunity. Join the social media platform that Black Talk Radio Network has put together in BTR Community. It's a social media platform for membership, where you can engage in social media activities without being as adversely affected. $24 a year is the membership for 1 year subscription. Join is the only place that I post information. You can also go to Prosperity Mint to acquire real money. And in doing so, go there, check out our website, and then email info@prosperitymint.com so that you can give, someone can explain to you the overall process of acquiring real money, exchanging your cash for real money, and that's what you want to save in. Everyone, please take this on what we're going to do. This, I want to give you a conference call line number And we're going to probably on Sunday, I want you to, for those of you that are interested, I'm going to have a small just talk about some things that I want to talk to you all about. And you can email me at wolf6pack1@gmail.com. And we're going to have a conference call just about some of the things, and you may have some questions about some things. And you can give us in the conference call numbers, take this down, 712-775-7035. And the code for that is going to be 660079. And that's going to be Sunday evening, Central Standard Time at 7 p.m., 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Sunday evening. We're going to do a question and answer and just bring you up to speed on some things that is going on. If you like to be a part of that, email me at wolf6pack1@gmail.com. And that's the number and the conference code for that. And the conference call number is going to be 712-775-7035. And the code is going to be 660079. For Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 Eastern Standard Time, okay? And that's going to be 5 Pacific Standard Time. This, and if you have any questions about, you know, some different things, and I want to talk more directly to you all and about getting prepared for this, okay? Today is the show. Sunday evening will be questions and answers and getting you all prepared. It's definitely something that you should do, and we're going to lay out some of the reasons why. All right, so let me hurry up, get into what's in the news, and we're going to move into today's show. All right, first article that I posted, and once again, just want to thank Scotty and Pastor Keith. Pastor Keith is here co-hosting with us today, and Scotty is there running the overall network. So greatly appreciate you all, and if you'd like to get in on the conversation at any time, please, we're going to probably take calls for the first hour. Let me just lay this stuff out because I got to get this information to you. The second hour, if you can call in then, 704-802-5056. Okay, here we go. First article that I posted was from Sputnik News, and it says, watch Merkel try speaking Ukrainian and is greeted by nationalistic salute in Kiev. We're going to show, we're going to actually play that, and it's like only 25 seconds, but you hear what the Ukrainian soldiers say, and what they basically did, and without even, what they basically did was they greeted, and you know, I said this before, Merkel sure has strong resemblance, DNA, a strong resemblance to Adolf Hitler. I mean, super strong resemblance to Adolf Hitler. There's almost a spitting image in the female form when you look at her. That's just, I'm not saying she is or anything else, but that greeting that they gave in the Ukrainian language was basically a salute to the Nazis. It was basically a salute and a greeting to the Nazis from the olden, from World War One. I mean, excuse me, from World War II. No coincidence at all. And I said, this only means, and I put that post in, and I said, this is my commentary. This only means one thing, folks, your time to prepare is getting short. And I'll tell you why. Next article, wait a minute, did I put a very, very significant? Yes, I did, okay. Next article, this one comes from RT International. Says this, we'll consider that a firearm. Donald Trump says rock throwing migrants may be shot as dangerous invaders. So it's a lot going on here. We'll discuss some of this stuff. Next article, thanks to my man Carlos. He sent this from the Jerusalem Post. Russia warns Russia warns in Syria, hence, we'll move this up real quick, let me come up. Russia warns a provocation in Syria, hence at Israel hot head. So check out that. Yet it is definitely going on. Thanks for that article, Carlos. Also, next article Carlos sent to us. Let me get this one out the way. Sorry, you all had to let this one load up. Ooh, don't do that, David. Cut us all out. Oh, no. Okay, cool. Next article, I have to wait a second. And while that's happening, let me just say this. The global positioning of things you need to know about. Wow, keep looking at my computer. Okay, we're going to have... having a little computer problems. Hopefully this will get resolved. Oh, man. I'm not surprised. Okay, so... I don't want to cut this off, man. All right, please bear with me, you all. Having a little computer problem. My computer is going nuts. It's never, ever done this before.
Hey, Dave, while you working on that, man, let me just say in reference to the refugee issue on the border, I view the Trump administration as the sole party that's escalating this. To even say such a thing, man, it's like tipping your hand, and it's also like trying to plant a mindset into the minds of the American public to view these people as invaders. Now, I read that I guess it's attorneys for these refugees have filed a lawsuit in the U.S. court. Because Trump's been talking about stopping the legal process for applying for political asylum. They are not violating any laws by going to the border, going to a checkpoint, and applying for political asylum. And that's the proper way to do it. So it's them that's acting within the law. Now, if you shut down that process, and then it escalates from there because, you know, you're doing something unjust and they're going to protest. I'm not saying, of course, you shouldn't be throwing rocks at the U.S. military. But again, man, I don't want to see what's happening in Israel with how they killing them Palestinians and treating them. I don't want to see that on our borders, man. You know, there's a orderly way to do something that has been laid out. It's worked for decades, and so by him circumventing the process of filing for political asylum doesn't mean that they're going to get it, but they should be able to apply. What's the problem? Why you want to escalate things?
Yeah, so true, and I got everything back. And Scotty, man, this show, watch how this unfolds. I'm going to tip my hat here. I wouldn't be surprised. There's much more to this. I can't tip my hat. I got to show everyone, and it's much, much more. Now, I just want to say this, Roz. I greatly appreciate all of the work that you did and you posted in what's in the news. But today's show is so critical. I'm not going to be able to get past everything that's what's in the news. I'm only going to be able to carry a couple of things. So please forgive me. Bruh, in that I'm only going to be able to do this because everything's back up now, Keith. So I need to definitely do this. Next article, this one is going to come. I posted this one from Telegram. Now, this is an old article. This is this went back to 2013. Okay, and this article has everything to do with what we're going to talk about today. And this, there was two suicide attacks in Russia in 2013. In my opinion, the first one was a bus attack, and I think the overall assailant's bomb vest blew up prematurely as the bus was making its way to Moscow. But then there was another attack not too long after that, and it was a suicide bombing, and this one's from the Telegraph. Suicide bombing at Russian train station sparked Sochi's fears. Russian preparations for the Winter Games in Sochi have been put on edge as a suicide bomber as a suicide bomber attacked in Volgograd, one of the biggest cities in southern Russia. Volgograd used to be Stalingrad. And this was significant about this. And I said in the posting here that this event back in 2013 was the real start of World War III because of its historical significance. This bombing at that train station was significant from this standpoint. Volgograd was one of the most pivotal and critical places where the Russians were able to defeat the German invaders, the Nazis. Russia lost over 2 million military personnel and civilians. The Germans lost 500,000 troops there. And at that time, it was Stalingrad. So when this attack happened in Volgograd, Putin was pissed immediately. I knew that Putin couldn't do anything immediately because of the Winter Olympics was happening. From this overall terrorist attack in Volgograd, Putin remained silent throughout the whole Winter Olympics. Soon as the Winter Olympics was over, guess what Putin did? Invaded Crimea because of this event right here. And when he did that, he notified Saudi Arabia and called Vandar Bush on the carpet and had them come to Russia. And this is where they told Russia that they'll fund the Chechens' revolt against Russia, against Moscow, right, against Russia. And Putin's, but all of this kind of falls in line. And Putin sent relayed a message back to Saudi Arabia, and we'll nuke you. And this is where Putin, after that, the big military move happened immediately after the overall Winter Olympics. The reason being is because this was symbolic, completely symbolic to what happened in the Ukraine. The Ukraine was actually, there was a military coup against the government of the Ukraine that was sponsored by the U.S. government, and it was the Nazis that actually overthrew the Ukrainian government with the support of the U.S. government. And right then and there, Putin knew what they were trying to do. Putin knew that they were trying to encompass and surround Russia. And this is where the overall INF treaty, this is where Dmitry Medvedev 2 years earlier said, no, we know what you're trying to do with that missile defense that you're putting up. That's against us. And so this is where everything started to fall apart. But this terrorist attack back in 2013, this terrorist attack back in 2013 at this train station was critical. It was the point of no return for the Russians. Now they're all into the war. They've been actually strategically placing themselves in that. So what I want to do really quickly, Scotty, if you would do me a favor real quickly. I put... Scotty, the Sputnik News one, if you could play it with Merkel, the first one that I posted, if you could just, I guess you don't really need to play it. Just play it so that it can be heard. It's a real, real short one, Scotty said, so that everyone can hear. And then Scotty already posted in the chat room what was said, but I'll read it off here, what this really means. And what's going on here?
Вітаю у Україні.
Hey, that's it, Dave. Dave, go ahead, man.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, got it. Okay, so What you saw there was that Merkel with the celebrity figurehead president of the Ukraine that was actually a part of, he got, only got put there because of the coup that the U.S. invoked. And when she stood before the Ukrainian soldiers, let me just read this. This is from Sputnik News. German counselor Angela Merkel meets the Ukrainian president and as she arrives in Kiev on November the 1st for talks on strengthening the bilateral ties and continuing peace efforts in the east of the country. Her visit to Kiev, German counselor Angela Merkel was greeted with what is largely perceived as a Ukrainian national salute by the Honor Guard, which was broadcast live on the president of the Ukraine's Facebook page. While the chancellor welcomed the presidential guard in Ukrainian, saying greetings to the soldiers, they responded by welcoming her with the phrase, glory to heroes. Glory to the Ukraine, glory to heroes, is a phrase that has gained notoriety as a slogan of the Ukrainian insurgent army, which was the Nazis, and many members of which are accusing the collaboration with the Nazis during World War II. Last month, the Ukrainian parliament voted to change the official military salute from hello, comrades, to glory to Ukraine and glory to heroes. This is all having everything to do with the overall Nazism, the nationalistic and occultic movement of Nazism. And this is why Vladimir Putin fought the Nazis, not Vladimir Putin, the Russians fought the Nazis and lost 2 million people in Stalingrad, which is Volgograd now. And that terrorist attack, there's definitely going to be a military response that's going on all over the world. Right now, they're trying to get the Ukraine and another, I can't remember the other country, a part of NATO. I didn't put it into what's in the news today because just this, what's going on is so strong. So there is a major move in Nazism around the world that is going to be a part of the spark. And remember, manifest destiny, begotten or birth. The third right of Nazism in Germany. Manifest Destiny is what the U.S. did. And the U.S. completely funded, not only the U.S., a lot of American corporations, Prescott Bush, the Bush family's father, that later the son and grandson became president. Prescott Bush was a banker that funded the Nazis. The Roman Catholic Church supported Hitler and the Nazi movement there, because they're all tied in together. So what does that have to do with right now? Right? Has everything in the world to do right now? And I'm going to go ahead and say this. The overall migrant caravan that is coming to the U.S. border is a cloak and a facade for something else. And I'm going to show you what I mean, and I'm going to tell you why I'm saying that. I also posted something else inside of the chat room. And Scotty, if you would be so, this one is going to be, there's a video inside of that from the LA Times, okay? In this LA Times article, one sec before you play it, Scotty, let me just tell everybody what this article is. This LA Times article from yesterday, Pastor Keith, is San Andreas Fault Mystery, the slow-moving disaster in an area where the big one is feared. Let me lay out the whole thing from there. San Andreas goes from Mexico into Southern California, past Salton Sea, Mexicali, the Mexican U.S. border, Mexicali, Salton Sea. It rides through Palm Springs, and then it goes up the up through Los Angeles and goes up into Northern California. That's the San Andreas Fault. So it starts down in Mexicali and goes past Salton Sea. Salton Sea, and let me give you the layout of that area. It's nothing but pure desert out there. It's nothing out there, okay? Very, very familiar with it because of my time in the military at 29 Palms in the Marine Corps and just living in Southern California. I know this area very, 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 very well, okay? So by me looking at this picture, Keith, I already know where those individuals are standing because of the mountains that are in the background, okay? In order for them to have the mountains in their background, that means that the cameraman is facing south and taking pictures of them with the mountains to their north.
Facing
the cameras facing north, yes. Okay, so now why is that significant? And Scotty, you'll be able to see it because I think you'll be the only one that be able to see this right now. Our listeners won't. By seeing the mountains, that means that you are looking north, and you're looking north, northwest, and northeast. And north and north, south of that is nothing. There is no military installations. It's the U.S. border, okay. U.S.-Mexican border.
And that's the capital. East and west.
The mountains stretch east and west, so you have to look north to see them. Okay? The only thing north going that way, going northwest, is Palm Springs, Los Angeles, hard left. You would go west, Los Angeles. You run into the 40 and the 10, Interstate 10, and everything else that will lead you into Los Angeles. Okay? North of there is going to be 29 Palms, the military base of 29 Palms. One of the largest military bases in the country. North of that is going to be Yuma Proving Grounds, China Lake, Fort Irwin. Fort Irwin would be off to the left, to the west, so you would be going northwest. East of that is going to be Arizona, okay? East of that is going to be Arizona. Now, I'm saying that for this reason. I want you to listen to. Let me just give you the whole backdrop here. So I'm going to just read this very quickly, okay? Just this one paragraph, and then we need to talk about this, and you'll see why I'm going to say that this is evidence to me that the migrant caravan is a facade and a cloaking for what the military is doing. It's not the migrant caravan. I didn't think it was, but now this proves it to me. Here's for me, it confirms and validates what my suspicions were. And I said what my suspicions were earlier this week on Tando Radio Show when I talked about this is really going to be about Venezuela, the military movement and the overall military fight that China and Russia will have against the U.S. in Central America, in the Caribbean, and in South America. This now proves it for me, and I'm going to show you why. The San Andreas fault line is a dangerous dance between California and Salton Sea. At the spot where the seismographs long have feared could be the epicenter of a massive earthquake. You've all heard about the San Andreas earthquake for California. They actually did a movie called San Andreas, okay? So now, this is that fault line that they're talking about. But in recent months, this desolate location, because it is desolate, is nothing out there, Keith, where the North American and Pacific plate rub together, has become the focus of intense interest for a type of movement that is less than the big one. An interest of a type of movement that is less the big one than the slow one. A muddy spring mysteriously has begun to move at a faster pace than the dirt earth. The first 60 feet over a few months. First it moved 60 feet over a few months. And now 60 feet in a single day, according to the Imperial County official. That whole area is Imperial County that's there. And there is no evidence suggesting that there is an immediate reason to the large, to or prelude to a large earthquake, says the U.S. Geologist Survey Group, is what they're saying. So all of a sudden, they got a mud spring that formed. And this mud spring formed in a very strategical position. I'm going to go over that in a reason. So, Scotty, if you would, this whole thing is 1 minute and 5 seconds, the video that's inside of that article from the LA Times. If you would, Scotty, if you would play that.
Yeah, we're at the Nyland Geyser site. This is a geyser that was first recorded in early 1950s. It was approximately about 1,000 feet away. And as of 2000, it started migrating toward in a westerly direction towards the Salton City. And as of, you know, May, April, the movement started being more, and now it's encroaching on the Union Pacific Railroad. We also have a major pipeline going through here, Kinder Morgan, some critical infrastructure with optic fiber, and then the state highway. We're dealing with Mother Nature here. It's sort of an anomaly that it's moving so fast and in such a, you know, small period of time. 2 months ago, it was approximately about 60 feet in an easterly direction, and then migrated an additional 60 feet within a one-day period.
So how it has affected the railroad?
Well, it's affected them in the sense that they've had to adjust and create these alternate routes, which they call shoe flies, to redirect the train traffic. There's no way to stop the movement of the geyser. It's, like I said before, it's something that, you know, Mother Nature is creating. What they can do is just alternate the paths and then, you know, just kind of monitor to see what it's doing. But as far as mitigation efforts to stop it, there is none at this time. Before, they were drilling holes, hoping to divert some of the pressure and divert the water, but that it didn't work.
So, is it threatening the main highway 111?
Yes, it is. It's approximately about 200 feet from the main highway at this time, when at one time it was, you know, close to 1,000 feet in the early 2000s.
Scotty, were you able to see the video?
Yeah, I saw the military hardware on the train in the background.
Okay. Here's the significant thing about that. Okay, so Scotty did see it. Everyone needs to look at this. Okay. Here's the significance of that. That train is moving equipment only in one direction. That train is moving equipment from the north to the south, and they're moving towards the Mexican border. Here's the significance of that. Those LAVs are light armored vehicles, and some of those vehicles are mortar vehicles, and some of them are tank tow vehicles as well, and anti-aircraft vehicles.
Yeah, I was about to say that. It looked like it was some artillery on there too.
Yeah, right, Scotty. The most important thing is that was the artillery that was on there, the 105 howitzers that were on there. You don't use artillery against a caravan of migrants. Because artillery, there is no need to use that. You use artillery when you are going to try to suppress the movement of military at a long distance. This means that the overall hardware that's going to the border has nothing to do with the migrants. That's the excuse that they're using to get the overall hardware there. What that you use the artillery for is that that artillery is going to be used to either buffet military movement of troops coming towards the U.S., or you move that artillery pieces into Mexico and into Central America as they move along trying to push their overall forward advancement. There is no reason that you would ever use artillery as a form of crowd control. Artillery is used for suppression of troop movement and gaining control of and gaining ground in troop movement only. And the vehicles that are there, those vehicles that are on that train, those vehicles are able to actually move quickly. Those vehicles travel at over 75, 85 miles per hour to be able to move in a forward manner to gain ground. This is all about World War III with China and Russia. This has nothing. The migrants, I wouldn't be even surprised if the U.S. government is funding the overall migrant caravan to move so that they can have an excuse to be able to move the overall military hardware under the overall cloaking of the migrants.
Hey,
it
Dave.
Has nothing to do with migrants. Here's another important thing. Hold on, Scotty, real quick. This geyser or mud thing that's there, They said it's Mother Nature. No, it's not Mother Nature. If you look at it, this area is completely isolated. And they're harrying, the U.S. military is harrying up to move equipment. If you, Scotty, and you can see it, these holes that are going towards the railroad track are going to compromise that railroad track, those two railroad tracks. And those two railroad tracks get compromised, that means that the military won't be able to move assets to the border. So they are harrying up and moving assets to the border right away through there, knowing that at any time that the weight of those trains could collapse that overall railway. But they realize the speed and urgency that they need to get that equipment down there right away. I'm thinking and I'm saying that the overall geysers were actually purposely done by someone on the outside, and they could have done it in various different ways, through overall weaponizing the weather, through frequencies to destabilize that whole area. Because if you look at it, strategically only going towards that there, that's not a coincidence, that's a purpose. And remember, the article said that at first it didn't move 60 feet for over a few months, and then all of a sudden in a single day it moved 60 feet. The overall person that was giving the interview gave up all of the information, and not really, they were just there for what they were doing and not realizing that they were giving what was really going on. What's really going on is the movement of supplies is being interrupted. And this is really what is happening. In my overall opinion, that overall means that the U.S. is preparing for a major, major, major war that you should be preparing for as well. As well. There's no reason to use artillery. It's nullified. You can't even use it. You can't use artillery when you have your overall troops providing riot control with 105 howitzers. It doesn't compute. It's so much more to this than what meets the eye. And here's what also is happening as well. As we speak today, the president of Cuba is in Russia right now, reestablishing old ties. So we are really looking at something much, much more than what is appears to be. And what this is telling me, that there is a definite war move that's going on. I definitely don't know what the overall battle plan is. Don't need to know it. What I do know is this, Keith, for the first time since the Civil War, as that overall tweet said, for the first time since the Civil War, U.S. troops are being armed deployed in the U.S.
Hey, Dave, so can I comment now?
Yeah. Go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, so Cuba might be in Russia, and to your point about, are they reestablishing old ties? I'm not sure the Russians has ever cut ties with with Cuba, because you, again, have to think about how long the U.S. has had this embargo. Any poverty that's in Cuba is a direct result of the United States embargo and trying to force other countries, not just tell them, but force other countries by way of military threats, economic threats, tariffs, all that kind of stuff, to not do any business with Cuba. So any shortages that they have in Cuba, like everybody know, you know, they don't have a bunch of new cars and stuff in Cuba and all that, that's cause of the embargo. Well, yesterday, yep. And I don't think this is the first time, and this is, again, I'm speaking on why Cuba might be in, a Cuban diplomat might be in Russia. Well, the UN just voted again to condemn the U.S. Embargo. This is embargo that the Cuban people didn't attack the United States. This was an embargo because of the Cuban Revolution. And the puppet Batista, who was doing everything for the corporations and the U.S. government, you know, it was a cesspool down there. So that's why they put the, because of the government that they favored, or the figurehead that they favored, got toppled by Castro and everybody. So that's the sole point of that embargo. In your view, Dave, was that an attack on the United States in order for them to do something like that? That's an act of war when you put an embargo and mess with a country's economic activity, their ability to employ or provide for their people. So that might be what that's about. And then if you remember Nikki Haley, who's supposed to have been resigning, but she's still running her mouth, she just condemned the UN for, you know, the UN condemning the embargo. And they had, and she had been, they had been taking shots at Cuba through the UN. I'm talking about the U.S. trying to make it seem like you got a whole bunch of political prisoners in Cuba, which you may have a few, but I bet you don't have as many as the United States have. And the majority of them were Black Panthers, BLA, and other groups. So you just got some get out of prison from the MOVE organization out of Philadelphia. So that's probably what that's about. Cuba trying to show up support, international support, to break this embargo, this illegal embargo. So that might be that. Now, on those photographs, on the video that I was watching, that's the first thing I noticed was the, you know, the military hardware. Dave,
yeah, I know it would be.
Dave, honestly, though, based on that, I can't draw any conclusions. That could be new equipment that's being shipped to any of our bases that's on the border, because it looked brand new. But the way we maintain, or the way we maintain when I was in the military, maintain our equipment, it always looked brand new. You know what I'm saying? So right, I don't know right. if it was brand new or if it's just, you know, they moving some military hardware to wherever. I need more intelligence on that. Now, I do agree, you know, that Trump is escalating this situation and trying to make this caravan of people seeking political asylum. Now, if for example, these people didn't have real grievances and what have you, and they weren't facing the kind of chaotic violence on the street from criminal gangs created by America's drug war, if they weren't under government supported by the United States, that, you know the history, the death squads training them folks down there at Fort Benning, Georgia, and just the brutal, you know, they were trying to overthrow the new president of Nicaragua. They just got through helping with the one in Honduras. Now, this is where this is supposed to have started. A few people want to gain international attention to the fact. And it's all on video. You got Hillary Clinton, after their democratically elected president was removed by a military crew, prominent activists, well-known activists who spoke on indigenous rights and workers' rights against this right-wing government, puppet government. She was assassinated. Berta Huerta, something like that. I can't remember her exact name. She was assassinated. Hillary Clinton, after all of this, you know, when you see the Democrats trying to front on this Saudi journalist getting killed, and now all the, you know, the immediate, well, y'all, where was y'all when that woman was assassinated and then Hillary Clinton went down there and said that Honduras is open for business, announcing U.S.-backed economic activity with certain corporations and what have you. So those people do have a legitimate reason. I don't know. I need the intelligence. I don't have any receipts based off of what I'm reading to what's available to us all. Is a lot of these people just poor, man, and they're being supported by people giving them food, the police not harassing them and arresting them, which I'm sure Donald Trump wants them to do. He wants that new president of Mexico to round these people up and detain them. But I tell you what, the GO group, this could be a front, though. The GO group, Core Civic, which used to be Corporation, Correction Corporation of America, the private prison slavers, mm-hmm. they definitely want these people, this to come. So yeah. if we want to, what's the best way I could say this? If we want to add suspects to the pool or what could be happening, hey, the private prison's done this before. They've been caught bringing people from across the border. So it's easy for people to hijack stuff. You know what I'm saying? Grassroots movement. Yep. This could have started off at grassroots and got hijacked along the way. And people could be sending food supplies or providing them with free legal help. But that's all good. But we know the right-wing people out there, the Nazis is out there saying George Soros and other Jews are behind this. So there's no lack of people saying what this could be, what it could. But what I do know is this. The Trump administration is escalating this situation. You have more than enough law enforcement, more than enough Border Patrol, that you don't need the military element. You think Border Patrol ain't got APVs, you know, armored personnel vehicles? You think they ain't got military gear? The government been giving civilian law enforcement surplus military equipment. So they don't need those. So they don't need regular army. So Donald Trump escalating this. And what his intent is, I don't know. I can't say. It could be anything. It could be what you mentioned. It could be I'm just doing this for show to throw red meat to my WWE fans. A lot of people don't know Trump in the WWE Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying? And that's how he act at his rallies and what have you.
Right.
But it could be anything. We already know he trying to undermine the 14th Amendment. So he escalating this. I wouldn't be surprised if they said if they pulled out their artillery or what have you, because who knows what could happen at the border, and then it go from 10,000 to 100,000 people to a million people who may be the masses who've been suffering because of their own government supported by the U.S. government, the CIA, all of the spook groups, and all of that doing this. Hey man. Them people could rise up. It could turn into a million. It could turn to 2 million. They could all just, it's possible. So I just want to say, who knows? But it's possible.
Right. Definitely. And that's so true. And everything that you laid out. Keith, you wanted to chime in?
Yeah.
Hold on. Keith wanted to chime in. Go ahead, Keith.
A bunch of things that Scotty said. I don't think anything's done just unilaterally. You know, a lot of times these are done for more than one reason. One of the things I'm talking about is with those tent cities and stuff that they have already down there holding those children and stuff. I read an article the other day that they've paying out people, and a lot of these people are Trump, you know, associates, business people, and all that. They paid out three times to those people what they've shown that they've had to pay out for all the immigrants and the storage and all that for over a year. They paid out three times that to build these tent cities and stuff. So you're talking about
the private prison companies, Pastor Keith, just for clarification. You're talking about the private prison corporations, the privatized industry, and now all of a sudden, you know, their services have gone up. I mean, their contracts and the amount of revenue they bringing in or what they charge in taxpayers has gone up three times as opposed to what it was before. Thank you.
Right. The other thing is that I thought was interesting what you were talking about, as you were talking about that caravan coming up and them escalating all of that and stuff. And you're exactly right. They're doing it the exact right way. But there was also something telling that he said. And what he said was, he says, look, if they get here, they can apply for asylum, like you said. But in the process of assigning for asylum, we're going to lock them up and hold them during the process. Now, why would you lock up and hold somebody in a prison that's applying for asylum? You know, it's absurd. You know, these people are not criminals. The last thing that you brought up, Scotty, that I thought was interesting was the United States has a long history of financing coups and toppling governments. Well, those are violations of international law.
Right.
Well, the thing is, we can't point to one or two of these. We got a whole, as a matter of fact, that's been the USA's MO.
MO, yeah. Modus operandi, yeah. Yeah.
So if you look at this, you know, one of the things that comes into play with me is way back when Obama was running for president, they were hammering about his minister at that time, Wright, I think out of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the main things that he said was, he said, you know what, this is the chickens coming home to roost. And he said, basically what they're saying is, you know, all the stuff, all the mess, you reap what you sow. And we've been at this mess for so long that eventually it's and it's coming to the front. You know, this stuff is catching up. All this stuff is catching up with what we've been doing for so long to so many people for so many reasons.
You said we,
the United States.
Yeah. United States. Yeah, not that we said. And yeah, I totally agree, because all of these things are variables. But in possibles, and the thing is that none of them have a healthy, they're all being coerced into a very, very explosive nuclear powder keg. Because right now, as Press TV reports, let me give you this article real quick before we go to the commercial break. Cuba's president in Russia to revive strategic partnership. This was from today. November the 2nd, out of Press TV. The Cuban's president inspects the Russian honor guard upon his arrival during a welcoming ceremony at the airport in Moscow on yesterday. The Kremlin said the two leaders were discussing the state and prospect of further consolidation of the Russian-Cuban strategical partnership in various spheres, and discuss options on current international and regional problems. Days ago, the Russian official signed a $260 million contract to modernize Cuba's energy facilities and metal factories. The two countries also discussed bolstering their military ties. Putin visited Cuba in 2000 and in 2014. And to revive the fault lines between the two nations following the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991 and the unsung economic hardship from that in Russia. From Russia, Diaz Canal is due to travel to China and North Korea and Vietnam and Laos. You see where he's going after Russia. He's going to, after Russia, he's going to China and North Korea, Vietnam, and Laos. So the Cuban president is in Russia right now with Vladimir Putin. And this is all significant. And everything that Scotty said is definitely on the table. What Keith said is on the table. But remember what celebrity figurehead Trump said not too long ago. He said that they were interested and he sought out to see if there would be interest of South American countries for a military intervention by the U.S. And the report supposedly said that the nation said no, but I guarantee you that they said yes, because the U.S. didn't ask anybody. They told them what they were doing. Now, I'm very familiar with this area. There is no U.S. bases in between. Only thing that's there in that area is the border. Those weapons are going to the border. Now, they may
penetrate further into and go into Mexico. But see, now you got our Central America. Now you have this dilemma. You're at the south of the border. There's nowhere else that they can go.
Hey, Dave, Fort Huachuca on the border, man. Fort Huachuca on the border. I was stationed there for 3 years.
Where's Fort Huachuca?
It's in Arizona.
On what side of the border?
It's in Arizona. So, and then y'all down there in Texas, but y'all know y'all got some...
direction.
What's that?
That's in the complete opposite direction, Scotty. From Salton Sea.
If it's coming south, Dave, if it's coming south out of California, in Southern California, because I actually rode through Southern California, man, that yellow smog, I don't see how them people live with that every day. But when we were shipping out to Saudi Arabia, that's where we shipped from their ports. So we drove equipment. People might have saw a whole bunch of military equipment being moved. But, I mean, what we should be looking for is it's got to be a command tent somewhere. And so you should be able to see that from the air, from a satellite or something like that, if there's no bases. But I'm saying, though, there are bases within reach. If Fort Huachuca is in Arizona, right there on the border of Mexico, that could be your HQ. And then you just building out from there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, you could bring on railway and highway, come out of Southern California and go straight across the south, across the border, with the borders through the border states.
Yeah. Now, in that area, that's very plausible but what would happen is that the best road for that would have been the 10 freeway because the 10 freeway was specifically built for the movement of military equipment from the east to the west or from the west to the east. Once you get down in that Salton Sea area, Scotty, there is no roads that's actually spec to hold that type of weight. Once you get in that area, from there it goes straight into Mexicali. They're probably, from where they are, you're at the last point, because once you pass the 10 freeway going on the 101, or using those tracks that go past the 10 freeway in the 101.
All that heavy equipment, go back and look at the video again. It's easier and safer, actually, to move it by railway. We're talking about artillery units. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're talking about stuff we're talking tons of material. It wouldn't be efficient to move that through the highway, man. It would also, you know, now I think railway would be the best, but you know, wherever it's going, we need to be trying to figure that out.
Right. Hold, Scotty, check this out. Because if you pull up on what I want to show is that where they are, where they film that, the only thing, the next place that's to them, the only thing that's closest to them is not Arizona, is off to the east, and it's far off to the east. The only place that is direct line to, that railway goes direct line to Mexicali. And Mexicali is on the border of Mexico and the U.S. There's nothing else that's out there. So once that overall equipment stops, that train stops, it's going to stop and take that equipment to that border area, because if Arizona was the place that they were going to transport that to, it would have been even – that wouldn't have been the path that you would have taken on that railway, because that railway, there's nothing else that's out there, absolutely nothing. It's total desolate. That's that checkpoint where we saw that train move.
Is that where the caravan's headed?
That's going to the Mexican border on the California side.
Is that where the caravan is reportedly headed to? Where's the point of entry that they're predicting that is going to come out to? Is that the same place, or are you?
That is critical. Yeah, Scotty, you're right. That's critical to find out where that is. So that's something that we need to do. And as you right know that. You don't use artillery for that. It's just not necessary. There's a whole lot more to this. But hey, we got to get ready to go to a commercial break. Very important.
discussion, and we need to have this. And the overall sign of this is this: the potential for this is far, is much, much greater possibility. I'm always going to try to err on the side of caution. That hey, this is what possibly this could be. And I'm pretty, for me, I'm pretty assured that hey, this is way, way more. And what I'm seeing way more, that this is actually more about World War III than it is anything else. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation when we come back, give us a call, 704-802-5056. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call at any time. Let me see what's on the board. Make sure. Okay, cool. Give us a call. 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. And today's show is that I'm really saying that, hey, this, the military movement and those the military equipment that is actually specifically being used for me is extremely concerning. The vehicles are LAV vehicles, light armored vehicles. They may have changed the name or whatever, but I'm very, you know, I'm actually... That was one of the things that I did in the military. Those vehicles is what I did. And
hey, Dave,
for reconnaissance.
I was looking for the information for you to find out where they're projected to be the point of entry, where, you know, our military is projecting them to be. But anyway, the question was asked who was behind the migrants, quote-unquote, who's funding them. And what have you, but the Blaze is reporting, theblaze.com is reporting that it is a People Without Borders is behind it. They're a long established humanitarian group, People Without Borders, which me and you have discussed on past programs of about these man-made borders on what God has created. But yeah, so that's something to consider. But if I find the I don't want to hold you up, when I find out where it looks like they're projecting them to land and where their troop buildup is, I'll let you know.
Okay, fantastic. Now, and if you look at where this this article was actually shot, it was shot at Salton Sea in Imperial County. And that Salton Sea area going south, there is the 8 freeway that will lead into Arizona, okay? And then Yuma is also, the 8 is down nearby Yuma, Arizona, which is also close to the border, and it's a military proving ground that's there. And then beneath the El Centro, then you go to Mexicali, and that's where you're at the Calico, and then there's Mexicali. Mexicali is on the Mexican side. Cali-Mexican is on the U.S. side. That area is all a part of the border as well. Now, I don't know. Now, Tijuana, where one of the entry points, one of the famous entry points, from there is probably about an hour and a half away from there going west from where Mexicali is by doing the eight highway. Now, I know the eight is a very, it could hold military, but that it would be difficult to have a lot of military equipment on there. Because of that actual road is probably not spec for that type of continuous weight and movement, but you definitely could do it. But these vehicles The LAVs, you know, they don't need the, they actually will, can use the highways and the freeways, and they can use the desert. They don't definitely need any roadways to traverse the desert at all. That's what they do. I know that's what I did in the military. And some of the variants that they had that were there, they had mortars, which I can see mortars are more close combat weapons. Artillery is long. Is long, and they actually had tow missiles, from what I can see from one of the variants. And there's a new variant that they put on anti-aircraft. I wasn't quite sure if I saw that one in that caravan on the train, but it definitely would. Those vehicles have a specific job. They are specific to what they do.
Hey, they got ATMs. That's more Dave, A-10, Warhol.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, because I would see them taking off and coming back in at Huachuca, man. It's some hardware. It's some hardware in domestic United States. It's some hardware now. I mean, where else you going to store it? But it's some hardware.
Scotty, now what were you saying about the A-10 Warthogs? I missed it.
That I would see them flying at Fort Huachuca, which is in Sierra Vista, Arizona.
Yeah, the flying tanks.
Yeah.
But, flying tank thrusters. But that's 1950s technology.
It might be, but they certainly have upgraded. I mean, that if you just want to shoot up a bunch of people and kill a bunch of people with some submachine guns, some stuff that would also take out some personnel carriers. That's what those things, that's why they say, call them, I guess, the Warthog, is it ain't supposed to be pretty, but it'll kill some stuff.
Yeah, they're pretty effective in close combat.
Maybe it's just me. I remember because the A-10s were primarily used. They're called tank busters.
Yes, yeah.
And they were used for tanks and stuff, a lot of that.
Yeah, in Afghanistan, they kind of changed.
Think about the Highway of Death. The Highway of Death from the Iraq War. If y'all ever seen that documentary or heard about how the Iraqi army was fleeing, And U.S. pilots just, I mean, man, they use some of those on them people.
They use the Warthogs on those.
Yeah.
And it's the trail of death. Yes, Scotty. So, yeah, that hardware is down there. But that's the overall topography of where that actual train was. That actual train is moving towards Mexicali. Now, that equipment can be offloaded and then move to Tijuana or move to Mexicali or even move east into Arizona. And those vehicles are ideal for that because, Keith, even in the sand, those things can run 65 miles per hour.
Yeah.
I've done it in them, and they're very different. The LAVs, they're almost, you can't get, they can get stuck, but it's difficult to get them stuck. And down there, they know that area very, very, very well. So they don't need a road to travel. But the howitzers and everything else, they can move that. That's what they do. So now, I'm saying this because if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802. When I saw the howitzers moving, and one of the things about the overall mud thing is that it's going to compromise that overall railway. That railway is going to be nullified there. Now, combat engineers and everything else, they can make a number, but it's going to take them time. But what is that going to do? That's going to immediately stop the overall flow of assets by way of the 101 out of 29 Palms, Fort Irwin area, moving that overall equipment quickly to the border.
It does away with the only supply line.
It does away with that overall railway. Yes. Now, you know, now one of the things is that in that area, there are, you know, they close down bases and everything else there, but there's March Air Force Base that's not too far from there, and Norton was closed down. But strategical importance, when I saw those howitzers, when I saw the artillery pieces, that told me that this overall program is much, much more. With the other information that we had, remember that there was a report that with the new president of Brazil, that there was actually a call for them to support Colombia in an invasion of Venezuela. And this isn't just scuttlebutt. This isn't just, you know, rumored. That actually was, that was the overall the plan. Remember when Trump said he wanted to have military intervention for the humanitarian aid of Venezuela. You see, they always want to say we're here to help you as they steal everything.
That's what I'm not understanding, Dave. I'm not understanding why we would do to Venezuela what we did. And the reason why I say that is because you made an enemy out of them. Now, at this point, even if you had access to them, what that means is you're looking at why the Roman Empire fell. They could not go into a territory, contain and control that territory, and at the same time defend it. You're killing yourself. You're doubling up your efforts. You've got a war behind your back now, a war in front of you, instead of just trying to do something sensible, help Venezuela out, you know, made them at least a little more susceptible to your presence. But they what they did was they went in there and ticked everybody off. Now they hate them, but that's where they need to operate out of as a base, kind of. It makes no sense.
Well, Keith, I'll answer your question real quick. The devil never thinks with the same mind that you do. It's always an insatiable appetite that it's all mine. I tell you what to do, and you serve me.
Hey,
so
Dave,
that overall... Yeah, go ahead, Scott.
I posted an article for you from The Blaze about some of these people are not even trying to get into the country to apply for political asylum. It says, with the help of humanitarian group called Pueblo Sin Fronteras, People Without Borders, the 1,000 plus migrants will reach the U.S. border with a list of demands to several governments in Central America, the United States, and Mexico. So, you know, the media, certain elements of the media, different special interest groups, and certainly the Trump administration has militarized this very peaceful and quote-unquote civil way. This is people saying, y'all been doing everything we talked about over the past hour, the coups and you know, all the other crimes against humanity. We're coming to your border, and we're issuing a list of demands, which I'm sure is going to be human rights based, the international, you know, like Pastor Keith mentioned, international law, but the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, with the, certainly the United States is a signatory to, but has not lived up to, like most of the treaties. And now Trump even withdraw from treaties. Didn't Haley withdraw from the Human Rights Commission because they condemn what the Israelis was killing those Palestinians who was coming back with a list of demands.
They rejected the Israelis, so the U.S. Pulled out of the, they sure did.
So there's a lot of propaganda.
The U.S. didn't support Israel.
There's a lot of propaganda, and the Trump administration is using it. And that's to turn this into something more than what it is, to carry out your agenda. And he's already trying to make this a place that nobody else, especially if you're from a non-white country, you can't get citizenship here. But yet, all that chain migration he talked about just occurred with, he done married two European women, Czechoslovakian and something else. And then got their parents U.S. naturalization citizenship. He the last one need to be talking about that, but the people behind him, that's their agenda.
Right.
That's that Nazi agenda. Steve King, Iowa, just now being called out by people and trying to disassociate themselves. This dude, a representative of the U.S. government for Iowa, I forget his district, went to Australia with some money that was paid by some Jews for him to respect some human rights. I don't know the details on the money, but he misappropriated some money that they gave him to do something they were lobbying, I guess. He uses it to go meet with an openly a neo-Nazi group, a political party in Australia. Not only that, Geert Wilders, the dude out there in Norway, so anti-Muslim and the things that he has said. So, I mean, you got U.S. politicians openly trying to carry out a white supremacist agenda, and Trump is trying to facilitate that, and that's just going back to an old trick that rich people use to divide people and get the masses of the poor people to fight each other for their... Yeah, there's certainly a white supremacist agenda, and I don't use that word lightly, you know.
Yeah, there definitely is. Like you said, Scotty, they're militarizing this whole thing. We got a caller in queue. Want to go to Brother Davis. Brother Davis, always good to hear the voice of a friend. What say you?
Good morning, brothers. It's an excellent day, excellent show, man. I do think that we have to consider this. In a time of election, just who can we believe when we know the media is controlled? There's so many different variations that they can project to alter the voting in America in this present climate. So we have to really be very careful in reference to who is saying what and how they're being represented. Now, when you really get down to it, could a mob of people on the way to the United States put a demand on the United States government when they really are coming here in a humble manner in order to try to achieve a better quality of life? There's just something that doesn't mix well with that. So, I mean, I'm listening just like everyone else is listening, but really think about it. Who are you to put demands on somebody when you have no connection there at all? That just doesn't make sense. But in a political era, you can make them look like an army, if you understand what I'm saying. And I regress and just listen again.
Hey, to Brother Davis, they do have a connection. It's called U.S. foreign policy, and Trump threatening to cut off aid if these countries don't stop these people from coming to the border and demanding that you stop funding right-wing death squads, stop manipulating our elections, stop supporting coups. That's the connection of the, like Malcolm X said, the oppressed versus the oppressors. So that's the connection. That's the human right that they have to come put some demands on. I'm gonna put it this way: U.S. taxpaying citizens, because we're paying for their suffering.
And you know, check this out. And one of the articles that I posted, and this came from Sputnik News. Bolden, that's the security advisor, the neocon of neocons, and this whole thing, when you look at all the events from Syria, from the Ukraine, to the Horn of Africa, to the Djibouti, to the continent, to Central America, South America, to the overall Korean Peninsula, South Korea, the South Sea of China, all of these, the Arctic and everything else, all of these are the battlegrounds of war right now. Every single one of them. And I thought it was very important that right after the Cuban president leaves Putin, he goes to China, then to North Korea, then to Vietnam, and then to Laos, the ASEAN nation. He is making a trip to get what? Everything that he wants in their overall agreement that they've got. It's very critical that he went to Russia and then to China, because that's the militarization of everything. And now, celebrity figurehead Bolden, national security, praises the new president of Brazil because he's basically the Brazilian Donald Trump. Let me just say this. I have no problem. Let's see how long he lasts in Brazil. Remember, Brazil is a part of the BRIC nations: Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. He won't be there for long. But see, what the neocons do have is they do have some influence. And so right now you're seeing that they're making their push right now in front of their real, real push that they're going to make. And their real push is going to be in the combat zone. Bolden calls Venezuela, Cuba, and Nicaragua the torques of tyranny. This is what he said recently. Now, here's the critical part about that. He called out Venezuela, he called out Cuba, he called out Nicaragua. Black Waters, he called out Nicaragua. Now, here's the critical point where this whole thing comes. What did Nicaragua do to become the axis of evil, so to speak? This is Trump's way of saying the axis of evil. Well, they rejected the U.S. and they went with China. El Salvador is doing the same thing. Panama did the same thing. That's why the Panama Canal is now run by the Chinese. Cuba is a very strategically important position militarily. And now China and Russia are going to have strong influence there. This is why, for me, and I agree with everyone here, I don't want us to lose the emphasis of this may be something much greater, and we need to prepare for it, because this is going to spark off, and the overall martial law invokement will be here very quickly, very, very quickly. And as some of the overall current generals in the U.S. military have already said, the U.S. is no longer a sanctuary. That meaning that the overall four battles is going to also be fought here in so many different ways. In so many different ways that the U.S., the continental U.S., is going to be in that influx. And now you're seeing the preparation for that. Now you can really see what Jade Helm 15 was all about. And if you go back to what Jade Helm 15 was all about, and the outcry of Jade Helm 15 was all about, Jade Helm 15 was all about really internment in NDAA enforcement. And now we're starting to see that come out. It's not a overall drill. This is now the overall situation, because they've already got the internment camps already set. And we need to know, and I just want to really, really emphasize that we don't want to get caught flat-footed on this punch, because the flat-footedness in the fighter means that a fighter gets knocked out. At no time in my overall years of living on this planet, and no time in Pastor Keith's 65 years of living on this planet, has he ever seen anything like what is happening right now? And the overall scope and dynamic of it all. And all of the scope and dynamics of it, we can't just look at it at one piece. It's very critical for us to conjoin everything together and see if there's a connection. And if you do that, if you look at the full horizon of things, you'll see that the overall roadmap is pointing to a World War III that's going to turn into Global Nuclear War I. Is it something that we're going to survive here? Yes. Is it something that we're going to be able to withstand and endure? Yes. But the degree of that is going to be dependent upon us seeing that that's the game plan and what that will mean. Because if we are just preparing for an election skirmish or a immigration skirmish is much different than a war skirmish. The dynamics of that is much, much greater, and the scope of it is much more impactful. And my thing is that I definitely think that it's something that we have to do, because the scenarios of war and the overall planning of war is being done. When you have in the Ukraine, when they actually acknowledged Merkel with the overall, the only thing that they didn't do is say hail Hitler and put their arm up and everything else, which everybody should do. But see, what they did was that they gave the overall slogan speech. And what does that mean? The Ukraine is on the Russian borders. I'm going to tell you now, Vladimir Putin and the crew is not going to allow that. They're going to move in on the Ukraine. They're going to definitely move in, and that's going to set off a whole different set of events. Chief, we got 3 minutes before we go to the break. You want to come back after the break? That way you won't be interrupted, or is it something you want to get in before the break? You sure? You don't forget?
No.
Okay. So I just wanted to. Yes. Go ahead.
I want to add, though, don't none of these countries want to go right directly to a nuclear war. They're going to try a conventional war if war works up. And the sad part about it is there's too many countries that have the ability to obliterate not only a country or a people, but life as we know it now. So I wanted to point out, so they're not going to jump directly to a nuclear war, but I do think that conventional war would not only be profitable for the people who are the puppeteers, but it will also leave a quality of life to rebuild on. So let me just add that.
Yes. Very, very well said. So true, Brother Davis. I think we all agree with that. Real quick on this scenario, let me put this all in why this is a world war. You got already now, you have, let's just go by. We got Canada, we got Mexico, we have Venezuela, we have Colombia, we got Brazil, we have Nicaragua, we got El Salvador, we got Panama, we got Cuba. That's just here in this hemisphere. That's just here. We got the United States. Now let's go overseas. You got the Korean Peninsula. You got Taiwan. Man, it's real. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Kando Radio Show. When we come back, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. I was just going over the list of countries that are now entangled in a potential confrontational environment, but some are actually have already admitted it, and now there's other things. So we went through the Americas. Now let's go over to the Asia. You have North Korea, South Korea. You have Russia. You got China. You have Taiwan. You have the Philippines. You have Vietnam. You have Malaysia. You have Japan. Okay, now we go over to Europe. Just put all of Europe in one big splatter, because all of Europe is destabilized right now from this. And then you have the Ukraine. You got Poland. You have all of that area that's there. Then you go into the Middle East. You have, you know, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Jordan, Israel, Saudi Arabia, Yemen. Then in on the continent, you have Djibouti, CAR, South Africa, Libya. And if you put all of that together, ladies and gentlemen, and you look at all of the economic turmoil, every currency right now in the world is under major economic attack. So now, what we talked about earlier, we went from trade imbalance to the overall life of a world war. Remember, Keith, we went to trade imbalance, then we went into financial crisis, then we went into currency wars, then we went into trade wars. We went through all of those. Right now, we've surpassed all of those. We even surpassed the trade war. And now we're getting the movement of significant troops all over the world, because we're about to turn into the hot war. That's the real scope and dynamic that's the one that will have the most impact in our individual lives. So I just wanted to lay that out, and it's all there.
To that point, Dave, I just read yesterday where these veterans were saying that you are actually have deployed more active duty troops domestically in the United States with this board, what you calling a border crisis that you created, with your response. But it's more than what's serving in Afghanistan or Iraq.
I saw that too, Scotty. Yeah. I forgot Afghanistan. I didn't mention Afghanistan in that. Yeah, Scotty, I read that exact same numbers that in Afghanistan there's only 17,000 troops, but there's going to be more than that in this overall border quagmire that is much more than what it appears, and that's my opinion. But Pastor Keith wanted to chime up. Pastor Keith, in your 65 years, have you seen anything like this? Go ahead, Pastor Keith.
I've never seen anything like this. It's ugly, and you're talking about how ugly it is, but I think, you know, we still can't remain one-dimensional.
Right.
And I don't want to say I'm a total doomsdayer. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, even after you have the war, I mentioned a movie the other day, and the movie that I mentioned was called The Free State of Jones. And the reason why I mentioned The Free State of Jones is because of the fact that it was history, and it shows a lot of the things that they've done. So, and what was going on in here was after the war, of course, the South was strapped for money.
Mm-hmm.
So what they were doing was they were raiding all the Southerners for their corn, their pigs, their chicken, their hogs, and everything else that they needed to survive the army and stuff. So they were just robbing the people. That's not going to be any different. So the reason why I bring that up is we have to also understand that when these things were going on, guess what? The rich weren't affected by these things. Why? Because they had options.
Right.
They had options. So while they were stealing all the poor and everything from the stuff that they didn't have in the first place, which is real, they're going to do the same thing. The reason why I bring this up is because last night I was perusing a bunch of the executive orders that they have out now. And the executive orders, there's a whole list in them that says, look, when war breaks out, understand this. You are on demand. You have to turn over your property, your riches, your land, even to the fact your labor. So they can draft you into what you call
13602.
All of it.
Executive order 13602.
Right. So the whole nine yards, again, these things happen to people that have no options. And I'm just saying that, again, the whole purpose of your radio show is to prepare these people
as much as they possibly can.
But even that, you're not just preparing them for one thing. You have to prepare them for several. But if they're in position, they can overcome all these things. And we just got to keep our eyes on the prize for that reason.
Right, right. And yeah, and Keith, as you know, in your 65 years, you haven't seen anything like this. And so, but Pastor Keith makes the real point, the reason why we do something. Scotty, I posted, if we could, I wanted to, I posted the KGB agent. If we could pick up from minute 5 and take it to minute 8, 3 minutes of it, so everyone can hear what this KGB agent was saying, that the overall, what their real psyops against the propaganda psyops is against what the U.S. was going to be. It really helps because it's a lot of diversion. And one of the tricks that the military does is basically completed already.
For the last 25 years, actually, it's over fulfilled. Demoralization process in the United States, nobody is going to pay them nothing for their beautiful, noble ideas of equality. This they don't understand, and it will be the greatest shock for them, of course. The demoralization process in the United States is basically completed already. For the last 25 years, actually it's overfulfilled, because demoralization now reaches such areas where previously not even Comrade Andropov and all his experts would even dream of such a tremendous success. Most of it is done by Americans to Americans, thanks to lack of moral standards. As I mentioned before, exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it until he is going to receive a kick in his fat bottom. When a military boot crashes his, then he will understand, but not before that. That's the tragic of the situation of demoralization. So basically America is stuck with demoralization, and unless, even if you start right now, here, this minute, you start educating new generation of Americans, it will still take you 15 to 20 years to turn the tide of ideological perception of reality back to normalcy and patriotism. The next stage is destabilization. This time, subverter does not care about your ideas and the patterns of your consumption. Whether you eat junk food and get fat and flabby, it doesn't matter anymore. This time, and it takes only from 2 to 5 years to destabilize a nation, it's what matters is essentials: economy, foreign relations, defense systems. And you can see it quite clearly that in some areas, in such sensitive areas as defense and economy, the influence of Marxist-Leninist ideas in the United States is absolutely fantastic. I could never believe it 14 years ago when I landed in this part of the world, that the process will go that fast. The next stage, of course, is crisis. It may take only up to 6 weeks to bring a country to the verge of crisis. You can see it in Central America now. And after crisis, with a violent change of power, structure, and economy, you have so-called the period of normalization. It may last indefinitely. Normalization is a cynical expression borrowed from Soviet propaganda. When the Soviet tanks moved into Czechoslovakia in 68, Comrade Brezhnev said, "Now the situation in brotherly Czechoslovakia is normalized." This is what will happen in the United States if you allow all these schmucks to bring the country to crisis, to promise people all kind of goodies and the paradise on earth, to destabilize your economy, to eliminate the principle of free market competition, and to put a big brother government in Washington, D.C., with benevolent dictators like Walter Mondale, who will promise lots of things, never mind whether the promises are fulfillable or not. He will go to Moscow to kiss the bottoms of new generation of Soviet assassins. Never mind. He will create false illusions that the situation is under control. Situation is not under control. Situation is disgustingly out of control. Most of the American politicians, media, and educational system trains another generation of people who think they are living at a peacetime. False. The United States is in the state of war. Undeclared total war against the basic principles and the foundations of this system. And the initiator of this war is not Comrade Andropov, of course. It's the system, however ridiculous it may sound, the world communist system or the world communist conspiracy, whether I scare some people or not, I don't give a hoot. If you are not scared by now, nothing can scare you. But you don't have to be paranoid about it. What actually happens now, that unlike myself, you have literally several years to live on unless the United States wake up. The time bomb is ticking. With every second, the disaster is coming closer and closer. Unlike myself, you will have nowhere to defect to, unless you want to live in Antarctica with penguins.
Okay, everyone. Man, I wanted to have you all just hear that from this individual. Now, there's a couple of things that were significant. When he talked about demoralization, destabilization, the demoralization part, I'm going to break it down real quickly. Demoralization. Basically, he was saying no matter what they show you, what's shown to you when you've been schooled to think a certain way, no matter what it is, that full understanding of where you really are before you get there, you won't realize it until the military boot kicks you in your butt. But we are much more wiser and more discerning than that. Keith said, who is we? I'm talking about our listeners, Keith. That's what I'm talking about. And I want you to remember something, what he said. If you hear what he was saying, he was laying out so many different things. I know Scotty and I were chatting back and forth some of the critical points. Did you remember when he said Central America? Now, this was done in 1983. So did he just happen to just say, let me pick Central America? No. Because he knew what the overall operation was, and he told you how long it takes and then what the sequent events of falling, what it will take now. So he's saying that we are past that overall 6 weeks to crisis. That's really what our next show should be, 6 weeks to crisis. Because he said Central America for a reason. Because that's where they knew that how they were going to maneuver when it was time to totally nullify the U.S.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
I was thinking about this earlier. I wanted to make sure I mentioned it on the show.
Yeah.
For an intelligence gathering operation of your own, or just trying to be an informed reader and knowing what's going on. But now's an excellent time to try to gather intelligence on these domestic, what I call domestic enemies, they might be Nazis, they might be repping a Confederate flag, and all of that. We know who we talking about. And they are going to the border. Their pictures are being taken. You know how we do. We can find you on the internet with a photo and we'll have you. So now is a perfect time to look up these groups that's talking to the media, where they're based at, where they say they from. In other words, just be gathering intelligence on potential enemies in case of breakdown. That's okay.
Man, Scotty, I'm so glad that you see, we should be using everything to the advantage for our overall protection. That's so true. This is so true. And, you know, just listening to that whole piece, but it was, we're going to play that probably again later on, but I really do want us to come away with, okay, now what do we do? The best thing that you should do is just prepare. Minimize your exposure as much as you possibly can. Everyone's circumstances and conditions is different. Talk to your family, come together, have a plan, create a plan. Stay silent about it. You know, Keith, one of the things that for me as an individual in Southern California, I was preparing for all of this a while ago. And I was, and I'm still in different different relationships with people. And some of the people that I'm in relationship with, I said, hey, I want to go in to talk to people just to prepare people. And they were like, you can't. They're on their own. And I understood what they meant by it would compromise a lot of things that we had built. So what I did was I said, I need to do this because I need to give at least an effort, even if that means that it compromises some of the things that I'm doing. And because of that, I'll sever my ties with you all to do that because I think it's so important because I realize that the greatest threat to us, Keith,
is our unprepared neighbor next door to us, and all the people around us that's unprepared. So we do this because we want to give you the opportunity to prepare. And there's always a cost, and it's already paid. It's already been paid. So there was no reason for us to put it on layaway. Now it's time for us to use it. And I just want to, before we get out of here, I don't know if you have want to chime in, give us a call. We're going to, next week, we're going to replay this first part because it was just so much that was said there that is actually coming to full fruition right now. We didn't create the environment, but we don't want to turn our back to some malevolent agendas. It's not that we are a conspiracy. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I know that there's a conspiracy agenda. So I just want to say thank you all, Scotty, Pastor, Brother Davis, for, you know, from the beginning when we started this, there was the same reasoning that I started it. Brother Davis said that he would be a part of it because he understood and understands what's really at stake in what we have to do. We're not always going, it's not a matter of being right or anything else. It's just a matter of giving the opportunity to tell people, hey, have you noticed this that is changing in you, that you've noticed that things ain't right? Well, let's not extinguish and blow that overall light out. Don't blow that fire out.
Hey,
actually, investigate it even further. Yeah, go ahead, Brother Davis.
I wanted people to understand that prep, before you can physically prep, you need to mentally prep. And if you haven't decided yet that you're going to prep, you'll never get to the physical part. So once you're mentally set, don't think that you have to have a certain amount of something, because I'm going to tell you something. When we went through this hurricane down here, I didn't realize how well equipped we were for the circumstance. But it was only because we were prepping in a mindset to be able to do the best we can with what we can as soon as we can. I just wanted to add that, brother.
That ends the show, because that's so true. That is so true. The decision to prep is really the overall, it's a fight or flight, where you will say, no, I didn't start this, but I'm not going to give up. And I greatly appreciate you all. Thank you so much, Brother Davis. Thank you, Scotty. Pastor Keith, thank you for your great 65 years of wisdom that you bestow on us all. And I just want to say, it's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. We'll talk to you soon. Sunday at 7 Central, we'll be on that conference call. You can email me at wolf6pack1@gmail.com if you didn't get the number. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.